Good morning. So I'm Curtis Adams. I'm from Texas A&M AgriLife Research, and I'm going to talk about some of this work that we did on enhanced efficiency fertilizers. So to start out, I want to thank those people who contributed to this work and sponsors. So this was sponsored by the Texas Wheat Producers Board and Association, and I want to thank Koch Agronomic Services and Agrium that supplied some materials for this work, and Haley Wright, an undergraduate research assistant who helped to carry it out. So I'll start out with a little bit of background. What are enhanced efficiency fertilizers? These are materials that stabilize fertilizer availability in order to try to improve nutrient use efficiency. So there are a couple of classes of these materials. They have slow or controlled release fertilizers, and probably the most commonly known of these are the polymer-coated fertilizers or the sulfur-coated fertilizers. Polymer-coated fertilizers are the more, a more high-end material. Sulfur-coated are generally considered lower performing, and they're less expensive. There's also low solubility inorganic materials like magnesium, ammonium phosphate, or chemically altered organic materials. Then there's also another class of stabilized fertilizers. So these are materials that they get some sort of chemical treatment in order to stabilize loss, like urease inhibitors and nitrification inhibitors. So our research motives in this test were that I'm based in North Central Texas, which is a major wheat production area. That's most of what our winter cropping systems are, is wheat. And so surface broadcasting urea is common in these systems. And producers, I think the number is 98%. 98% of our acreage is dry land. So farmers don't have any kind of control over rainfall to wash that urea into the system. So they rely on unpredictable rain to do that. And until it's incorporated, it's highly vulnerable to loss by volatilization. So to increase nitrogen use efficiency, splitting urea application is also common. That requires more tractor work and driving on the crop mid-season. We're not a particularly high rainfall area, so splitting doesn't necessarily have a positive impact because we don't get a lot of leaching. If we could get it all on at once, that would likely be a benefit. So enhanced efficiency fertilizer technologies may provide a more efficient way to apply urea in a single application and improve nutrient use efficiency in this area. So I couldn't find any published reports on this in the literature or in communication with any colleagues. So this work was really kind of baseline work for us to see how these materials might work in North Central Texas. So the research objective was to test two urea fertilizer technologies on agronomics and economic performance of winter wheat, including application rate and timing effects. And we just picked one technology that was a stabilized urea product and another one that was polymer coated. And these are the materials that we used. We used Super U, which is produced by the Koch company. And it's treated with both urease and nitrification inhibitors. And then we tested ESN, which is environmentally smart nitrogen. It's produced by the Agrium company. As far as I know, it's the only polymer-coated fertilizer that you can apply in field situations that's economical. So this table describes the different treatments that we had. Like treatment number one was with no fertilizer at all. Then the next three were a low rate of fertilizer, including urea, the polymer-coated urea, and the stabilized urea. The next three were a higher rate of those three fertilizers, and then the last one was a split application where we applied at planting and then in the late winter prior to jointing. So we had some differences in the way that these were applied. So if you apply the polymer-coated fertilizer onto the surface in relatively dry Texas conditions, there won't be any release of the fertilizer. So we drilled this directly in the row with the planter. The stabilized urea product and the untreated urea we surface broadcast. the way that farmers typically do. And we tested this in two locations. So these are the yield results. I've got all of them bracketed by the different the different treatment types that we had. The control over on the far left and the far left, and then in groups of three. So the highest yield that we saw was in the stabilized urea product with the high at planting rate. The yield in this treatment was 26% percent greater than treatment 5, which is the untreated urea product at the same rate. And it was 34% greater yield than in treatment 1, which was with no fertilizer at all. The lowest yield that we saw was with the polymer-coated fertilizer at the high rate applied at planting. So that product, I think I expected to get that kind of a result when we started this study, but also wanted to see what happened. Like, that product is really popular in Canada and in the northern states. The release of the fertilizer is dependent on the temperature. That's the primary environmental factor that determines what the release rate will be. And even in the middle of winter, in a winter crop in Texas, it still is pretty warm. So I didn't know that we would get that much of a yield penalty, but it really caused significant stand loss. And as you can see, even at the lower rate, 31.5 kilograms per hectare with the polymer-coated urea, we still didn't get any yield advantage. Yield the same as the control. As you can also see in this data, there was little to no effect of splitting the application. The split application ones are there over on the far right side. Little to no statistical benefit of doing that. And according to what I've seen in literature, the results on splitting application in our environment are really variable anyway. Sometimes people see benefits and sometimes they don't. So I wanted to throw in this data. This was canopy cover data that we tracked over the course of the season in order to try to see how the crop was developing and how it was different. And I just want to point out a couple things. Like, the red lines are the polymer-coated fertilizer treatments. So you can see, even at the very beginning of the season, there was obvious stand loss and damage in those treatments. And the blue lines are the stabilized urea product, and those were at the top of the pack in the beginning and maintained that way throughout the season. And there's kind of an interesting difference between the two locations. Chillicothe had more of a clay loam soil, and Lockett was more of a sandy loam soil. It gets interesting how much of a separation there was among the treatments in the sandy loam soil as compared to the clay loam soil. So we collected information on grain nitrogen so we could understand, approximate how much protein was in the material to see if we had any impacts there. And producers can receive penalties on their prices if the grain protein is too low. And I think that threshold in our region is 12%, which corresponds to 120 grams per kilogram. So some of these treatments were able to edge that up just barely above that number, but most were below. So that's something that the producers could consider also, in considering whether to use these products. On the bottom, I have crop grain nitrogen removal. It's really big differences, or I guess especially one really large difference there. And this is sort of an approximation of the nutrient use efficiency of the different products. And it was far higher with the stabilized urea product because that metric is just multiplying the differences in yield by the grain nitrogen content, and the higher yield plus the higher concentration of nitrogen in the grain led to a lot more total removal of nitrogen in the grain. Okay, so we also looked at the economics of the system because, just like all producers everywhere, that's very important to them, and it affects whether they'll use these products or not. So what we found is that higher input costs, which are associated with using one of these one of these enhanced efficiency fertilizer products did pay off when those prices increased yield. So I want to just highlight two treatments. Number one was the control, where we had no fertilizer at all. And number seven was the high at planting rate of stabilized urea. So these price points, $147 per megagram, $220 and $294, that's metric units, of course, but those correspond to $4, $6, and $8 per bushel. So coincidentally, the current price that's being offered is around that lowest price point, $4. And as you can see, farmers lose money in any scenario when prices are that low. As you move up and you compare these two treatments, you're losing more money with the stabilized urea product initially, or under the low price point. As you move into a mid-range price point, they come to be very similar, statistically the same. As you get to a really high price point, then you're starting to exceed net profits with using the stabilized urea relative to no fertilizer at all. So sustainability is a major consideration for farmers if they're going to consider using these things. They can get higher yield if they use these products and use them right. Especially when prices are low, it's very attractive for them to apply no fertilizer at all, and definitely not anything that enhances the efficiency of their fertilizer. But if they're considering the sustainability of their systems, they might consider these. So, thank you very much. Yeah, I'll take any questions if you have any. Yeah.
How much rainfall is observed in November, December of the year application?
I don't exactly remember. Not that much. That's our driest time of the year. So typically per month over our winter, we wouldn't receive more than a half an inch or so. Yeah?
Do you use a high-quality variety or a low-quality variety?
A variety of wheat?
Yeah.
Yeah. We used one of the top performers in our area. So it's called Gallagher from Ohio, or Oklahoma State University. So one thing to mention, I guess, so the very highest yields in this study were about 35 bushels per acre, which is not really great, but we got this in the field on November 15th, which is relatively late for our area. So I assume we could have bumped those yields up more had we planted in October, maybe. Yeah, great, thank you.